I want to talk to you about one of my favourite subjects, which you've probably all heard before, from the Yoga Sutra. Abhyasa and Vairagya. Have you all heard those terms, which translate to mean practice and dispassion? Or they also, you could think of it as best efforts and surrendering the results. And I think it's just so helpful for us because often we don't. Often we, and I guess, you know, okay, I've been thinking about a few things. I hope I can all kind of pull together for you. One of the things I was thinking about is, you know how most of the time, in general, if we hadn't kind of probably discovered yoga, we may have just been kind of living in a way that's only relating to our senses. Like that's mostly how we, you know, perceive the world, like what we can see, what we can touch, and so on, right? We all know the senses. And this relates to the understanding of our kind of survival needs. And it's sort of in a way like primitive, if you like, because if you think of like, you know, when you see little Charlie the Dachshund out there, you know, that when you see a little, when you see an animal, that's how their perception is relating to senses. Mind you, their senses are quite different to ours, which just on a tangent is quite fascinating, isn't it? Because have you ever, I just remember one day I was at the beach and I had this like it was kind of like a real sort of enlightening experience for me that this dog came bounding over to me, obviously thinking that I was its owner. Like you could just kind of tell the way that it did it, that it was like thinking that I was its owner. And then it's almost that you could like see that then it, you know, then its owner starts calling it and it's like, oh. And I was thinking, like, obviously the dog could see me and I didn't look like the owner, right? But obviously their senses are so different that they're not perceiving like we perceive. Have you ever had moments like that when you suddenly had this kind of experience of realizing? Because see, most of the time when we are in our limited, you know, say for example with our own eyes, you know, because we can only see, you know, we can widen our perception just through the practice of letting ourselves be aware of peripherally. And that's a really beautiful meditation practice that we do, just like kind of letting our eyes widen. But even so, we can't like literally see what's behind us, can you? Right? So we tend to be, maybe even when we think we're seeing a bigger perception, from the point of our senses, we can only see our own perception, or hear our own one, or so on, right? But yet we know that there is more. And you know what I'm talking about, because we can have these kind of like revelatory moments where we, like someone calls you that you were just thinking about, right? I mean, I literally had this last night. My friend from New York, we were messaging, and I was literally like in my mind, I just really want her to be feeling loved and supported. Like that's actually what, in fact, I was just about to cry. I feel so emotional about it because I was really just really wishing that for her, like a really you know, like what you would have done for your friends, a feeling of like heart to heart. And I was thinking about it, like to do with her relationships and so on. And then I was thinking about while I was like cleaning. And then I picked up my phone again, and so there was another message from her, and it said, you know, thank you, Tam, I feel really loved and supported. I was like, it just really got me, you know. And even now, I just cry, you know. And don't you have those little magical moments too, where you just realise there's more than we know, more than our senses, you know, more than we think could be, do you know? Because I had that feeling, like, oh my God, like the small self goes far out. That's incredible, right? Don't you reckon? And so. What I'm trying to get at is that we have these basically like higher, and that's why we refer to in meditation transcending. We have these all of us as humans have this capacity for higher consciousness, right? And it's more than our senses. And so, you know this, and don't get me wrong, because obviously mindfulness is really wonderful. Okay, so I'm not saying that, but I just think it's, you know, Al's actually working on a book at the moment with my friend Peter, who some of you might listen to his podcast, Peter's podcast. Where's Ari? She loves him so much. And so they're writing a book called Beyond Mindfulness. And just one thing that I've thought about on this subject is that, you know how the Yoga Sutra begins with this part saying, that now is yoga. Okay, so basically when we're in presence, that's yoga, when we're harnessing to that. And I just want to just kind of clarify something that I think can sometimes be a misinterpretation, maybe. Not maybe, you probably don't, but in case, right? That some of us, we can potentially be interpreting that to mean that as if the present moment is kind of like a box, stuck, just how it is. Like, just see exactly how it is, In a way, what I feel about is that is that's kind of limiting it by definition being kind of a box. And I was thinking about this, that I'm telling you like 50,000 things at once. This is what happens over a whole 2 days in my teaching classes. I've got so much I'm telling you. I was thinking about how, if you have got this beautiful candle that can have a beautiful glow and glowing the whole room, if you put it in a box and close it, the light will go out, right? It actually needs to be open for it to shine. And I was thinking about this in relation to what I'm talking about, is that we can't just kind of like just close it down, although our small self and our senses that are limited will tend to close down, will tend to go, well, this is just how it is. You know, you may have a desire for something, you may have the intuition that something is really, like, it's like a, in yoga terms it's called dharma, you can kind of feel it, but sometimes your small self might shut it down, and it may be the voice of whoever in your life, and maybe just like the whole societal voice, well, you can't do that, that's too much for you, you see what I mean? Like, well, you don't have the money for that, or you don't have the this for that, or you don't have the time for that, or you don't have the that, no. Anyone ever have that voice? Right? Because everyone has it. Hopefully not all the time. But I think that's why we love yoga, is because we realise we're more than that voice. That voice isn't really us. We're open to that which is more. And that's what I'm talking about to do with presence, the idea of that you are present for presence. Do you see the difference of that? It's like that which is present, that which is aliveness, that which is like the animating force in you, that is which is like this mystery of life. That's which is your inspiration and intuition and that magic, that feeling of delight and that delight that it needs space and openness for it to be shining, right? To be glowing. And so that's why this idea of apyasa vairagya. I'm thinking, how am I going to get back to that? So. Seriously, I'm being serious. Is that what I think, why about that, about how, the idea of our best efforts, right? That or practice is like being in that of presence. Then it is presence that is kind of greater than us. And like that Ayrton Senna quote, where he talks about when you go to the limit of what what you think is possible. And then once you're there, you realize you actually can go a little further.